I've been wanting to do that for a long time, just didn't have the guts, amen? Second Timothy chapter number 2 tonight. Maybe from the singing you know the subject already. We celebrate today, or we preach today, and we'll celebrate on Wednesday, our great nation's freedom. The only thing that brought this freedom outside the grace of God was brave men, and now even today, brave women who are willing to put their life on the line, put on a uniform, and be called a soldier in the United States Armed Forces. Yeah. Amen. In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, a young preacher boy, and he's giving him advice and help to help him along in the ministry. Yeah. And in our scripture tonight, we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll read a few verses here. Y'all there, say amen.
Amen.
He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's good advice. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good," say it with me, "soldier of Jesus Christ." He said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Chosen him to be a soldier. We were drafted. We were grafted. Amen. We didn't just sign up. The Lord came and got us. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. I'm glad one day when I was lost and on my way to hell, the Lord came by and called me. But he didn't just call me into his family. He called me into his army.
Amen.
If you are a child of God tonight, you are supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier.
Amen.
Amen. Soldiers go through hard times. And they have to be able to endure some hardness, and it takes much training to get them to where they can get through the battles that they've got to face. I think we got some Christians in America that need to toughen up a little bit. Amen. Let me say it again. We need to toughen up a little bit. We got too many babies in the church house. We ought to have our skin a little bit thicker than what it is. Amen. If preaching offends you, toughen up. Amen. You say, "Well, how do you toughen up?" Keep listening to it. Keep listening to it till it don't offend you. Amen. Keep listening to it until it gets to the place where it don't offend you, it helps you. Amen. We need some good soldiers. There's coming a time, and I believe maybe in my lifetime, if not the next generation, where we're going to have to literally fight for what we believe in. We've had it too easy too long. I'm not trying to preach a doomsday or scare you, but there's going to come a day they're going to threaten to lock the doors out there if we continue to preach like we preach. I've got to get to the place now I'm having to watch myself because I am live on the radio, and now they've got the internet radio and people can listen to that thing all over the world. And I made statements this morning that are illegal. But I'm going to continue to make them. If I've got to break the law to preach that Bible, I'll break the law to preach that Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And if they lock me up, you'll come get me, right?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Freddie said not till he gets to preach at least a couple of services first. Brother Freddie said, "Leave him in there. I'm going to preach." Amen. Yeah, try to raise the money for bond. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about being a good soldier. I am a soldier. And you are a soldier. I'm afraid we've got some. I watched a movie yesterday. Watched a movie yesterday about a young man I forgot what they call stop loss. Is that a right term, Brother Greg? I watched a movie about a young soldier. He had did two tours in Iraq, and he was supposed to get to go home today. And he went in to report to sign in and sign out and all that kind of stuff. They said, "Sorry, you're going back to Iraq." So you know what he did? He ran. They call it AWOL, or absent without leave. Now, we've got some of God's people who are AWOL tonight.
Amen.
Who are AWOL. They're absent without leave.
Amen.
God has never given anybody leave to leave the ministry. God has never said, okay, you've done enough for me. I don't expect nothing else out of you till you die. Amen. Our retirement from Christianity is death or the rapture. There's no stopping place. And I'm not stupid. I realize you reach a certain age where you're not able to do like you used to do, but you're still a soldier. Amen. You may not be able to be a foot soldier anymore, but you can be an old salty prayer warrior. Amen. That goes before God day in and day out. And maybe you can't preach it anymore, but you can pray for the ones who can. Amen. We need some good soldiers in this battle. Amen. I know we're on the winning side, but as I look around, it looks like we're losing. Churches are closing their doors when they need to be opening them. Churches are stopping to have services on Sunday night. Sunday school's now an old-fashioned thing. Call me old-fashioned. Amen. I started to wear overalls again today. I just liked that last week. That was good, wasn't it? Amen. That just suited me just fine. Amen. It seems like we're losing them. We're losing the generation of teenagers that are coming up in America. Amen. We're losing them. This modern Christianity is pulling them in. They're showing them a Christianity where it doesn't matter how you live or how you act. Yeah, you come to church and we'll suit your lifestyle. Amen. We've got churches in America, I'll get to the message in a minute, where homosexuals feel comfortable. I want them to come, but I don't want them comfortable. Amen. I want them to feel a little bit uneasy in here. I want them to feel like we the only ones. Did that preacher just say Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve? Did he really just say that? Yeah, he really did. Listen. The only thing keeping these young'uns out of grotesque sin, well, there's two things. There's a good mom and daddy, and there's straight Bible preaching. Nod your little pointed head. You'll be all right. There's good parents, and there's straight Bible preaching. Amen? And we're losing that in our country. I want to promote it. I'm talking about old-time religion. I'm talking about a King James Bible. I'm talking about a hymn book. I'm talking about soul winning and gospel tracts and street preaching. I'm for every bit of that stuff. Yeah. Amen. And I want to train this next generation coming up, not just to be a soldier, but to be a good soldier. Yeah. Amen. I want you to ask yourself tonight, what kind of soldier am I? What kind of soldier am I? Some of us won't know that really till we get there. Now, Brother Greg is very humble. He won't advertise all the awards and acknowledgments he's received from our government, even accommodations from our president, not the one now, but one before. And he don't brag about that stuff. But you see, he got rewarded for his soldier duties here. You understand? We'll be rewarded there. Amen. We'll be rewarded for the kind of soldier we were in heaven. Amen. Amen. I'd much rather have a reward there than one here. Amen. Because the one I got here won't last. Amen. It'll wear out and it'll rust and it'll rot. But hallelujah, there's one laid up in glory that I'm going to get to lay on my Savior's head. Amen. And crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I desire to be a good soldier. How about you? I'm a soldier bound for glory. I'm a soldier going home. Are you a soldier? I remember Brother Tony Collins, Brother William, his kids, when they were little, they would sing a song, I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. What kind of soldier are you tonight? I want to give you a few characteristics of a good soldier. I'm going to tell you what a good soldier is. Would y'all be all right with that? Yeah. Number one tonight, you ought to write this down. A soldier is a follower. A soldier is a follower. He is one who has the ability to follow someone superior to him. Hey, we're living in a day where nobody wants to be a follower. Nobody wants to be told what to do. I'm reminded, Brother Greg, of the little boy who said, I'm tired of mom and daddy telling me what to do. I'm tired of the school telling me what to do. I'm going in the army. They tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, tell you what to wear. Amen. And it's all green. You better hope he liked green. Amen. Listen, you're going to be told what to do. One of the greatest things a child of God can learn is submission. Amen. Amen. Listen, wives won't submit to their husbands because they're not submitted to God. We won't submit to each other because we're not submitted to God. Amen. Why do these people flock to these touchy-feely good churches? Because they don't want to submit to a pastor who will preach against their sin. Y'all okay? Yeah. Nobody wants to follow, but a good soldier is a follower. He looks to his leadership for instruction. A follower, listen to me carefully, a follower implies a relationship. In other words, to be a good soldier of Christ, you best know Christ. There's a relationship there. That you must, before you can pick up the gun and fight the battle, you best be in the army. Amen. Hey, I believe we got a lot out there picking up the gun and claiming to be in the battle, but they're not even in the army. Amen. Now, I'm going to be real blunt here. I ain't on the radio, so I don't care. I believe some of these preachers that ain't got a Bible, have no conviction, won't preach on sin. I'm thinking about one real clearly in my mind. He's redheaded and got real pearly white teeth. It ain't my place to judge, but I don't think he's in the army. Y'all okay? Oh, he can do his little chant. This is my Bible. This is my... Go suck an egg, man. Yeah.
Amen.
Y'all okay? He ain't no army, man.
Amen, Bruce. Come on, brother.
If he's got salvation, he's got that kind you can lose.
That's right.
You say, how do you know? He graduated from Oral Roberts University. Amen. Yeah, I'm talking about Osteen.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe there's some that just need to enlist tonight.
Yes.
There's some that just need to sign up. Listen, you can serve God without knowing God. My Aunt Lily, I don't know what he would be to her. He's my Aunt Lily's first husband's son from the next marriage. So I guess it's really nothing. But but he is related to her kids, my cousins. Amen. Anyway, Brian Free. Y'all remember Brian Free, Gold City? Y'all, real high voice, sang like a girl. Y'all remember him? That boy can sing. He can sing the roof off, man. Did you know it was years after he had been traveling with Gold City, they were number one, winning the Dove Awards in the gospel chart, had his face on the front of the singing news over and over and over on his way to hell. That's his testimony, not mine. After singing with Gold City for years, he fell down on the stage where they were performing one night and said, I got to get this thing settled in my heart. I'm lost. And he got born again. What are you saying? I'm saying he was serving the Lord without knowing the Lord. He thought he had marching orders, but he had performance orders. Amen. We okay? There's some that just need to sign up. I think about people who thought they got saved and when they were younger and they really didn't and they tried to live for the Lord and they struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and finally they get saved and they go, oh, that's a lot easier now.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
There are some that just need to enlist.
Amen.
There's some that just need to enlist.
Yeah.
You just need to get in and have a relationship. I know it's Sunday night, but do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
I'm talking about, do you have that Savior Son relationship?
Yes, sir.
You've got that thing settled in your heart. You are a soldier. You are a child of God. You are in God's army.
Yes,
when you stand and sing onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, are you singing about us? Or are you including yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
As a follower, that implies that he has a relationship. But not only does it imply relationship, it implies rank. Rank is very, very important, and it's taken very serious in the military. Is that right, Brother Greg?
Amen.
You know what you're not supposed to do? You're not supposed to go above rank. Is that right? Amen. You're not supposed to go over your sergeant's head, or he's going to have yours. Rank is important. Amen, I guess the lowest rank you can have would be private. Is that right? Amen. Private. And then private first class. Is that what? Whatever. And it goes up, and then they got letters. E this and all that. I don't understand all that, but I notice them guys I see in the airport that's got that got them stars. You know what I mean? They somebody. They walk in the room, buddy, and people snap too.
Yes, they do.
Why? Because they carry that authority.
Amen.
They carry that authority. And they recognize the authority when they see the authority. We have a problem with that in our churches.
Amen.
People won't submit to the rank above them.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, "Be to the Corinthians, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. I ain't tooting my horn tonight, but I'm pastor of this church. I don't do everything I ought to do. Don't do everything like I should do. But I'm the pastor of this church. And as a church member, you ought to submit to the authority of a pastor. Is that okay? The only reason you can't is because you're not submitted to the final authority, and that's the Word of God and the author of the Word of God, God Himself. If you'll submit to God, you won't have trouble with me. And if you'll submit to God, you won't have trouble with your spouse. And you won't have trouble with your fellow Christians. Hey, Jesus outranks us all.
Amen.
Amen. He is our general. He is our commander-in-chief. That's who He is. He has the final say-so. He hands out the marching order. And He's always done it in the same way. Listen, I know God can speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you. You don't need me to be fed. You understand that? It's my job to feed you, and I try. But you can feed yourself.
Amen.
Amen. But God has always had a plan, and for every plan, God has always had a man. God could have spoken audibly to the children of Israel and said, go over this river Jordan and go into the land of Canaan and possess it. But God didn't do it that way, did He? No, He didn't. He called Joshua out by himself and said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. Joshua got the word from God, carried it to the people, and the people followed.
Amen.
Moses went up on the mountain by himself and got the law. And then he conveyed it to the people. Are y'all listening? That's always been God's way. You're supposed to have a preacher. You understand that? I always ask this question when I get these phone calls. I get one, at least one a month. Sometimes, especially in May, June, that area where weddings are real popular and everybody likes to have them right there, I'll have phone calls on my answering machine. Pastor, we just wanted to know if you might be available to perform our wedding. I'll call them back and I'll say, what about your pastor? Well, we don't have a church. What do you want a preacher for? I'm not being cocky and I'm not being ugly. What do you want a preacher for? If you don't have a church, you go to the justice of the peace.
Amen.
Somebody said you could reach a lot of people though. Yeah, it's possible. But I could waste a lot of time too.
Yes, sir.
That's why I don't marry people outside our church. Not that I'm above it, I just don't have time. We okay? People call all the time. Preacher, my grandpa died. Could you come and preach his funeral? What about your preacher?
Amen.
Boy, don't die on me.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen to me. You need a church, and you need a church with a pastor.
Yeah.
One that's got a backbone. One that's not afraid or intimidated by you or intimidated by the big check writers. As far as I know, we ain't got many of them. But I'm not intimidated by money. I don't care what you drove here. I don't care if you come up on a Huffy. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to preach to the Cadillac just like I preach to the Huffy. Don't make no difference. Y'all okay? It implies following, implies a relationship, but it also implies rank. And then it applies rule. People don't like rules, do they? I saw a sign the other day. It was for one of these new churches. It said, religion without rules. That's what he said. What's that mean? Can I come naked? You ain't got no rules. Can I smoke dope while you preach? That's good, brother. Religion without rules. My hind leg. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, we're not real tight around here. We don't beat you to death because you don't dress like you ought to dress. Amen. Men in the army, they don't just tell you what to wear, they tell you how to wear it. I mean, them pants got to be tucked in them boots, just, what do you call that, blouse? They got a blouse in breeches, and they got, I mean, them boots has got to be shined so you can see yourself in them. I miss Brother Eric. Brother Eric used to shine my shoes. He could do it, brother. I'd look down and see if my hair was okay. Brother Eric, whoop a shine on him. They teach that. They make you make your bed to their specification. Well, we don't want religion with rules. You just don't want God. Because when God steps on the scene, he has some rules. The Ten Commandments are not suggestion. By the way, I preached a series on that, but I'm going to make this statement again tonight. Hey, if you could just live your life by the Ten Commandments, you'd do well. Amen. If you didn't even have the New Testament, if you could just live your life and you had the Holy Ghost in your heart and you could live your life according to those ten rules, you would do well. You know what you'd be considered? A good soldier. Amen. Wonder how many of you even know them. Ten rules. People look at me cross-eyed. If I say, like Friday night, I announced the youth choir is going to sing Saturday night. I said, y'all dress right. Don't croak out on me. Why can the golf course have more standards than the church house? Back when I didn't have no better sense than to try to play golf, me and Brother Freddie, a bunch of us, went down here to Creekside Country Club. Country Club, is that what it's called? Creekside Golf Course? Whatever. Used to be PCC, Paulding County Cow Pasture is what we called it. Literally. We went over there to play golf. We're at the place where you practice, driving range. We're at the driving range, hitting ball. Here comes this little guy. I'm saved, but sometimes I don't feel like it. Here comes this little guy with a little flashing light on top of his golf cart. I thought, man, I could outrun that on foot. Me, he comes. Sir, sir. Huh? You talking to me? Yes, sir. You'll have to leave. We require trousers. I said, these trousers? He said, we don't allow denim. I don't have a brand new pair of Carhartts, $40 blue jeans. $40 pair of blue jeans, and the man told me I got to go home. Yeah, Brother Freddie was there. I mean, seriously. Hey, man, you would vomit if I tried to tell y'all something like that. Yeah. Buddy of mine told me that one of the biggest strip clubs in Atlanta, you can't come in a T-shirt, you got to have a collared shirt on. A place where people get naked. And you got to wear a collared shirt. Yeah. You know what that is? That's rules for lost people. That's rules for lost people. And them old perverts, they'll walk out of there, go into Macy's or somewhere right then, go buy them a shirt just so they can go see naked people. What an idiot. What do you mean I can't play golf in blue jeans? Dude, do you know where we're at? This is Paulding County. I used to coon hunt right here in overalls. Don't tell me I can't. Following. This is going to wind up long. Following implies a relationship. It implies rank and it implies rules. Listen, when I ask you ladies to wear a dress in the choir, don't get mad. We ought to be willing. You know what those soldiers are? Brother, they are. I know we preached against pride the other night, but they're proud to wear that uniform. Amen. Brother, it ought to make us thankful that God gave us a voice that we could get up and sing for it. And if a preacher wants me to wear a dress to do it, I'll wear a dress to do it. If a preacher wants me to wear a tie to do it, I'll wear a tie to do it. Amen. Hey, if we're going to do something for God, we ought to put our best foot forward and look our best and do our best. I know this ain't popular and some of you won't come back, but bless God, there ought to be some rule. Amen. I may never get past this first point. Several years ago when we had our school here, kindergarten through the 12th grade, there was a student in our school, left our school and went to another school. It's closed down now. It was going toward Temple, Brother Freddie, on the left. They called it something, Montessori School. I didn't have a clue what that was, so we inquired. You know what that is? No rules. The kids go to school and do what they want. Would to God mama had sent me to one of them places. They just walk around, do whatever they want to do. Do you know what they graduate? Idiots. You ain't going to tell a 10-year-old boy, you need to read 10 chapters in that history book if you want to. Oh, you mean you're implying I don't got to? I can stand on my head and leg wrestle with my buddy or read that book? I'm leg wrestling. Y'all all right? You don't mind when they have rules at the school. You don't mind rules at the golf course. But boy, when they're in the church, oh, that's ridiculous. Why is it okay everywhere else? I'm not after nobody tonight. God knows my heart. And you ladies, you know, I ain't fussing at you. I'm just saying, man, you're going to take a leadership role. And if you're singing in that choir, it's a leadership role. Yeah. If you're teaching or helping in a Sunday school class, that's a leadership role. Yes, sir. Okay. Being a good soldier involves following. He's a follower. A good soldier is not only a follower, but he's faithful. A good soldier is faithful. Every morning when they blow, what's that? They blow reveille. Is that what it is, Brother Greg, in the morning? They blow that reveille. Man, them bold soldiers come out there. They're dressed. Their toes is on the line. I mean, brother, they're squared away. They're sharp. They're ready to go. Man, I wish God's people's like that. I wish God's people's like that. Church starts at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. It's 6:05. It's 6:10. You're still standing around talking, running your mouth. Brother Charles says, let's get a song book, and you can't hear him over the roar of the crowd. Brother Charles said, hey, let's get us a song book. Now it's time for church. Raise your hand and say, guilty. Tonight, Brother Freddie, somebody had to whistle. Everybody's like, what? Try that at work. Man, we'll be faithful. We'll be faithful. Being on time, I was trained that way. My mother was late for everywhere we went. Always. Till this day. 6 o'clock means 10 after. So I grew up being late. And now I fight that thing. Y'all all right? At least I fight it. Some of you ought to fight it too. Amen. You ought not go dragging into Sunday school 10 minutes late. And the teacher feels like just on account of you, he's got to back up and rehearse everything he's already told everybody else. Wow. A good soldier is faithful. He's faithful in his patience. He endures hardship. He don't quit. We're impatient people, ain't we? God, I need this and I need it now. Lord, please give me patience and I need it now. Amen. Have you ever prayed? I'm the most impatient person in the world. Bro, that's a spiritual battle I have to fight. And I realize to be a good soldier, I've got to be patient. And I'm going to say something, and I'm going to be real honest, and don't want you to get upset with me, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. I got a little impatient with God over this place. I got upset. I got a little bit angry when everybody was out of work. And our budget of $5,000 a week, we were taking in, if we was lucky, two. And I hated to see Tom coming because he's crying every time I seen him. I said, God, this ain't right. Boy, I got sideways with him, Brother Freddie. And I fussed. You know what the Lord was saying? A good soldier's patient. We got through that. And a lot of us are closer on account of it. A lot of our prayer lives were enhanced on account of it. Mine was. Amen. A good soldier is faithful in his patience. Listen, he's faithful in his priorities. Y'all listening? We ought to set some priorities for our life. If you don't, the devil will take every little thing that's unimportant and does not matter and hinder what is important and what does matter. If you don't set a priority to pray, you won't. Somebody gonna get a witness. Oh, we ain't shouting and clicking our heels, but this is helpful, I know. Do you have a priority that you pray? Every day. You mean I should pray every day? You eat every day. Some of you could do more praying, less eating. That's a priority, isn't it? I hope a brushing your teeth is a priority. Taking a bath's a priority. You need to get clean spiritually, too. Amen. Where's your priorities at? Where's church on your priority level? Well, we'd be church, but kids got ball. We just won't teach our kids if they're going to sign up for something, they're going to do it. I've heard that. Man, it got quiet. Listen, ain't nobody in here loves ball no more than I do. Can I use you? BJ? Will it embarrass you? BJ came in my office. This man loves to play ball. And he's pretty doggone good at it. He's playing softball on a couple different teams, I think. I mean, he was at the ball field constantly. He come to my office. He said, Preacher, I need you to pray for me. He said, this is one of them things I can't just back off. If I remember right, he said, I'm afraid it's hindering my relationship with my wife. It's hindering my relationship with God. He said, man, I'm just going to have to cut it off. And he did. Preacher, you against playing ball? No, I love it. I love it. I think we got enough people now we could have an intramural softball team. Amen. That'd be fun. Be a lot of fun. But not on Wednesday night. My mama stuck to her guns. I played ball all the whole time I was growing up until I got to high school and I wouldn't keep my grades up, so I'd sign up to play and then report cards would come out and mama put me on restriction and I couldn't anyway. But all through elementary school and junior high, man, I played ball. I know, I was a ball player. We loved it then with Brother Greg. I mean, Brother, we signed up every year. We played ball. We didn't just try out. We made the team, brother. But my mother would stick her finger in an unsaved man's face by the name of J.P. Denton. J.P.'s saved now, and he'd stand and tell you the reason he's saved because my mama preaching to him all them years. She picked up his kids on the bus route, Donnie, David, and Dorsey. Yeah. And mom would stick her finger in his face. She'd say, I'm signing this boy up to play ball, J.P. Denton, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He won't be here on Wednesday, and you will not set him on the bench because he went to church. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. They made a new rule. You remember, Brother Greg? If you had church, you was excused. I think we used to bring them bulletins or something. I forgot what it was. But if you had church, it was okay. Why? Because Sandra White's going to bite my ears off if I set that boy on the bench because he went to church. You know what that was? That was a priority my mother had set in her heart. And no matter how much I begged, and no matter how much I pleaded, no, you are going to church. Do you think it helped? Here's what they said. Sandra, you're going to ruin them kids. You're going to ruin them kids. They're going to grow up and hate church. I hate it so bad. I go about 7-8 times a week.
Amen.
Not that much, but I do. I go more than all y'all. Amen. Somebody said, why you go to church all the time? Why you preach all the way? I like it.
Yeah.
It's what I am. It's who I am.
Amen.
Listen, man, Brother Johnny Cash, man, we've been friends since we was little. He, you know, I don't know if y'all know it, but he pitched for the Braves organization. And Johnny, when we was in high school, I'd ride the bus home with him, and we'd go out in the yard and sit down, and he'd pitch. He'd throw 94 miles an hour in high school. And he'd pitch to my hand. I'm talking about wearing a catcher's mitt. I'd take it off my hand, be blue. Johnny's told me over and over, listen, anytime you want to go, call me. We'll go to a Braves game. We'll sit in the player seats, and I'll take you in the clubhouse and introduce you to everybody.
Okay.
Wow. Somebody said, why ain't you done it? It's just not high up there. Bobby Cox is gone. I would have loved to have met him, amen. But he's gone. It's still a cool thing to do, right? But my priorities have changed. There was a day when I'd have laid out of work to do something like that. I'd have called in sick. Oh, I don't feel it good. My boss used to say, let me hear you cough. Call me this evening and let me know if it's biting. That's what he'd say. Amen. Old Brother Tom Kidd, Randy, you remember Brother Tom? He said, call me this evening and let me know if it's biting. Amen. Priorities changed. Man, since I got in this army, ain't nothing I'd rather do than serve him. Now, I'm not so stupid. I don't slow down enough to spend some time with my wife, my children, take a little vacation. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I used to preach that it was. How stupid. Just because I heard somebody else say it. But listen, my priorities changed. Where are you going? Where are y'all going? There must be something going on back yonder. What is it? Listen, I got a phone call the other day from Brother Johnny. He said, I'm going to take you hunting again this year. I said, all right. Pike County, Illinois, deer killing capital of the world. I said, yes, I want to go. He said, but we're going to have a work day in Illinois. He said, it's July the 10th through something. I looked at my phone. I said, yeah, brother, I'll go help you. I'll go help you plow and plant and whatever you got to do. I'm there. Well, I got two calendars. I got one on my phone, one on my billfold. And I just happened to pull the one out in my billfold, and I've got a meeting week after next in Connecticut.
Ooh.
Yeah, Yankees. And we were standing in my office this morning. Johnny said, cancel it. There was a day. Priorities have changed.
Amen.
A soldier, I know I'm getting way too long. Can y'all handle a little bit more? I may two-part this and give you some more Wednesday night. I said he's a follower, but not only that, he's faithful. He's faithful in his patience. He's faithful in his priorities, and he's faithful in his practice. You can count on him. You can count on him to get the job done.
Amen.
Are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier? You know what? It's every preacher's dream to assign somebody a position or a duty or a job and never have to worry about it again.
Amen.
Because you know that soldier is faithful in his practice. He's not going to get mad and quit because a parent complained. Kids never complain. Y'all ever notice that? It's always mom and dad. He's not going to get mad and quit because the preacher made a decision he didn't like, because in his heart he's not doing it for the preacher, he's doing it for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Amen.
Amen. I couldn't make Brother Allen, Brother Greg, Brother Thomas, I couldn't make these guys, Miss Irene and Jerry, I couldn't make them quit loving them kids if I wanted to. Understand it. If I make a decision that makes you mad and you run off mad, you ain't hurting me. You're hurting them babies that you tell all the time how much you love them. And then you walk off the job and they went, I thought they said they loved us and they'd always be here for us. Hey, a good soldier is faithful in his practice. Y'all all right? He's a follower. He's faithful. Can I give you one more? I'll give you three more Wednesday night. He's a follower. He's faithful. Now watch this. He's familiar. He's familiar. There's some things that are very familiar to him. Let me tell you what one of them is. He's familiar with the sound of his commander's voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Huh? People are so confusing the voice of God with something else. Brother Fred, have you ever had somebody tell you this? I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. And you went, you're out of your stinking mind. Have you ever? I have that all the time. People say, I feel like the Lord's led me to whatever. I mean, some of the stupidest stuff I've ever heard in my life. I feel like the Lord's led me to leave the church and go to this church over here where they don't preach the Bible. The Lord didn't lead you to do that. Lord's leading us over here. The kids like the program. I thank the Lord. That's the kids. Chances are, if the kids like it really, 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 really good, it ain't the place for you. Kids love chocolate. And I love to preach chocolate. But I got to give you some broccoli every now and then. Some carrots and some beans, amen. Some turnip greens, hallelujah. Cornbread, I'm getting hungry. Y'all okay? It's a balanced diet. When Levi was little, and believe it or not, he was little. It didn't matter what we was eating. You know what he said? On hot dog. On hot dog. I'm a hot dog connoisseur, but I can't eat them for breakfast, lunch, and supper every day. What's for supper, Mama? Fried chicken or pork chops, biscuit and gravy on hot dog. Sorry, you ain't getting a hot dog. Oh, hot dog. Oh. You know what happened? He was forced not to eat a hot dog. And he took that little fork sitting in his high chair and jobbed it down in some of that biscuit and gravy and went, he learned biscuits and gravy was good. He didn't stay little. When he is in college, I'm going to make my wife mad. Maybe she's out with a grandbaby. No. When he is in college and he'd call and say, I'm coming home this weekend, I'd say, ha ha, woo! I know what that means. Pork chop, biscuit, and gravy. She'd cook it for that brat right there, amen? But if we'd have let him, he wouldn't eat nothing but hot dog. Processed meat. Amen. He's familiar with the sound of his commander. We need to know the voice of God and accept it. Quit blaming God for all the mistakes we made. I just really thought the Lord was leading. Hey, you better know the devil will talk to you too. Amen. Just as sure as the Holy Spirit will impress your heart, so will an evil spirit. God ain't never led nobody cheat on their wife. God ain't never led nobody leave their family. God ain't never led nobody into sin. Amen. God ain't never led nobody away from himself. If God's leading you, he's pulling you closer. Amen. He's familiar with the voice of his commander. Do you know it when he's speaking to you? He speaks to me in different ways, like my mother did. Sometimes mama called me baby. And she still does. I call everybody baby. Who was it? I called one of the boys a while ago. I said, shy. I said, baby, you do me a favor? He said, you call me baby? I said, your mama said you act like it, amen. I'm kidding. Sometimes she'd call me baby, and I knew she was being sweet. You know the Lord's like that. Sometimes His voice is just as sweet. Man, Brother Lee and his wife got to singing Friday night. You know what I heard? I heard that sweet voice. I heard that sweet voice saying, come up here and sit in my lap. Give me some sugar. I want to love on you a little bit. But boy, then she had that other voice. When I heard my full name, can I get a witness? Edward Roy White. I could hear my mother a mile away down in the creek fishing and hear her hollering. Her voice echoed through them pine trees. Uh-oh, I better get my rear end home. And if I got so far away, she had to blow that car horn. Sometimes the voice of our commander is sweet. Sometimes it's sharp. Hey! The Bible said those He loves, He chastens.
Amen.
If God never corrects you, I got to wonder if you even know Him. Somebody said, and somebody's going to get sideways with me. What time is it? Somebody said to me back when we had our school, we don't discipline our children. I said, yeah, it's evident. That's why we can't control them. I looked at a lady across from my desk, and I said, ma'am, would you allow me to tell you what the Bible says? She said, sure. I said, will you accept what the Bible says? She said, oh, yeah. I went to Proverbs. And I said, you sit here and tell me how much you love your children, and because you love them so much, you don't discipline. But here's what the Word of God said. The Word of God says you hate that little boy.
That's
right. She said, do what? I got on that side of the desk with that woman. I set that Bible down, and I said, read that for me. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. I said, that's not talking about a 69 Camaro. I said, it's talking about a whip, a cane. I said, now, do you still think it's right not to discipline your child? I said, you don't discipline yours because you say you love them so much. I discipline mine because I do love them so much.
Yeah. Amen.
You okay?
Yes, sir.
I got to quit, hadn't I? He's familiar with the sound of His commander's voice. Well, sometimes He speaks sharp. He shouldn't have to speak twice.
That's right.
That's right.
But I'm sure glad He's merciful.
Yeah. Amen.
Has He ever had to speak to you more than once?
Yes.
Twice? Thrice?
Yeah.
I read that thing about old Jonah, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah again the second time, and I thought, wow, there's help for me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's familiar with the sound of His commander's voice. I'm talking about a good soldier. Listen. Not only is He familiar with the sound of His commander's voice, but He's familiar with the skill of using His weapons. Let me tell you something. Hey, some of them boys in the Marine Corps, you don't want shooting at you. They can shoot a gnat between the eyes at 100 yards. I mean, them boys are good. They know how to figure the windage and the elevation and all that good stuff, man. I mean, they know how to adjust that scope and knock your eye out. They're skilled. Somebody said, being a good shot's a natural gift. No, it's not. You can be. I feel like I'm a gifted shooter. I can shoot. If I ever pull a gun on you, don't run. That's my weakness. If a deer starts to run, I'm shooting. That's just always been that way. Why'd you shoot that doe? She ran. They took off running. Bow, bow, bow. I just start shooting. If I ever pull a gun on you, don't run. Amen. Your chances are better if you just stay still. But you know what them guys do? They go to the range, Brother Greg. And they shoot round after round after round. They make a lot of misses before they get good enough to hit that bullseye at a mile away with a 50 caliber weapon. Are y'all listening? Listen, the only way you're going to be skilled with your only weapon. You read Ephesians chapter number 6, we got all this armor. We had this one weapon right here. The sword, are you listening? And prayer. How skilled are you with it? Are you skilled enough to deal with the Jehovah's Witness that comes to your door? Now, used to, I'd argue with them. I don't do that no more. I don't argue with them because I'll wind up mad and in the flesh, and I do it every single time, especially when it's winning. And I'm not a male chauvinist. I'm not that. I love ladies. I married one. Amen. But when a woman gets in my driveway and starts sticking her finger and trying to preach to me, it's better for me just y'all go on down the road. I ain't hit a woman yet. Are you skilled enough? When one of your family members says, "Well, y'all believe that old once saved, always saved." It don't even say that in the Bible. No, but sealed to the day of redemption is.
Amen.
Amen. Can you show them some verses? Are you skilled with your weapon?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, man, what keeps me out of trouble is when the devil comes my way, there's enough of this in here and in here that it pops up. Have you ever been at work and somebody asks a Bible question and you think you don't know any verses and all of a sudden you're going blah, 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 blah. And man, you walk off going, wow. Man, if Brother Freddie could see me now. I just waxed eloquent on them dudes, man. I didn't even know I knew that verse. It's in there. And if it's in there, God can pull that thing up when you need it. Amen. He's skilled with the use of his weapons. Hey, there was a time God gave me the gift to preach. I ain't good for much else. But God gave me the gift to preach. When I was a young preacher, I did some stupid things. I did. Brother Atkins, I'd give anything if I could have some imprecious people I run off. I'd run them off and then brag about it. How stupid. Some statements I made that I thought, man, I look back and I go, unskilled with the use of my weapon. The preaching of the Word of God is one of the greatest weapons we have against sin and the devil. Man, let's practice it till we're good at it. Amen. Let's practice it till we're good at it. Every young preacher says something stupid. I've been doing it a long time now, and I'm still apt to say something pretty crazy. Amen? But I'm talking about, buddy, it was, you just have to been around. Here's what Brother Charles would do, this wise old man. He'd sit on that front row and go, Never corrected me a single time, never fussed at me, just, He'd shake his head. He'd say, brother. I knew I'd done messed up. Brother Charles was sitting there going, And Mama's going, bless him, Lord. Yeah, I just said something dumb, didn't I? Amen. He's a follower. He's faithful. And he's familiar. He's familiar with the sound of his commander. He's familiar with the skill of using his weapons. Listen, lastly, and I'll quit right here. He is familiar with the strategy of his enemy. There was a time as a Christian, I was so dumb, I didn't realize it was the devil when it was the devil. You know what I've learned over the years, Brother Charles? The devil put people in this church just like the Holy Ghost will. Y'all okay? The devil sends people to the mission field just like the Lord does. The devil sends people in here to infiltrate and cause trouble. And you know what? Used to, I didn't care as long as something was breathing. But brother, I can spot them. As far as I know, we ain't got no infiltrators here right now. We've got some that lets the devil use you occasionally. You get full of him from time to time. But I don't think you're sent here to infiltrate, split, and cause division. Even though the devil may use you to do that in your gossip and stuff like that. But he's familiar with the strategy of his enemy. I've learned how he works, Brother Freddy. I've learned how he works in people. I've learned how he works to get people out. Seen it happen over and over and over and over and over. If he can get you embarrassed, he can cause you not to come back. Y'all okay? We had a family, Brother Charles will know who I'm talking about, and I love them dearly to this day. And they're friends of mine. I ain't going to say too much. Anyway, their son did something really dumb. Something that I did the same exact thing when I was a teenager and got in trouble for. I'll just tell you what he did. He mooned somebody. At school, he mooned somebody and got in trouble. And it embarrassed the parents, and they quit coming to church. They did. And they're my friends, and I love them. Thank God for them and have fellowship with them when I see them. Precious. Don't let an embarrassment. Listen, how many of you got a kid? It's not a matter of if they're going to do something stupid. It's when and how stupid. Do you understand? It's going to happen. Especially if you have the Y chromosome children. Boys. They're going to do something really dumb. Like shoot the backboards out of the basketball goals with a BB gun. Y'all remember that? What? My K is giving me sign language. I think, did you say it's time to quit? My K is going, it's enough, brother, it's enough. Kids are going, hey, stuff happens, man. Y'all understand that? Stuff happens. Embarrassing stuff happens. I was preaching the other day, and I was talking about antidepressants, and I mentioned the wrong kind of medicine. Brother Charles felt my pain because he did the exact same thing one day. Teaching Sunday school, I'll never forget it. I thought Janice was going to kill over dead. I'm not, brother. Y'all know what I just got from down here, don't you? After that, my darling son and my precious deacon go off to a meeting and share the story with a man I preach all over the country with. And I'm getting text. Hey, preacher, I'm feeling a little down. Here you got the hookup. You're going to be far better off when you learn to laugh at your stupidity. Man, if I quit over being embarrassed, I'd have quit a long time ago. I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come piano. One Sunday night years ago, maybe it's the first year I was there, maybe it's the second, we're going to have a little Christmas play. You remember that, Brother Charles? We're going to have a Christmas play. Little kids was all in the play. And buddy, aunts, uncles, grandmas, cousins, everybody in the world come to see these little kids in a Christmas play. I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. I got up and I was trying to welcome everybody and I was stuttering around. And I said, folks, now we're real informal around here. If you feel like crapping for your kids, you go right ahead. And everybody's laughing. I'm saying, no, really. The devil will use embarrassment to get you out. Amen. Stuff happens. The devil will use some sin in your life that everybody found out about, everybody knows about. And he'll say, everybody in that church is talking about you. You're the main topic of Facebook today, friend. Them people don't love you or they wouldn't talk about you. Yes, they would. They're people. I think a man's a bald-faced liar that says people in his church don't talk about one another. I live in a real world, buddy. If everybody else don't talk about you, I might. Okay. Seriously. And the devil will tell you, don't go back down there. He'll embarrass you right out of church. He'll tell you what you can do. Especially here. You can walk right back in that door. Or that one, or that one, or that one. You can walk right back in here where you always sit. And nobody will think none the less. If they're right with God. You know why? Because they've had to make that same walk of shame a time or two themselves. You ever walked in this place going, A good soldier is familiar with the devices and the strategy of the enemy. The Lord tells us to be not ignorant of his devices. You better learn to spot the devil a mile off and say, hey, this ain't nothing but the devil. I ain't going to let it get me. Amen. I'm going to pray that God get him off my back, out of my mind, out of my heart. A good soldier. I gave you three tonight. He's a follower. He's faithful. And he's familiar. I'll give you four more or three more Wednesday night. Thursday night. Thank you. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Gordon Soley used to say, be there. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Are you a good soldier? How about it? You know what? He'll make you one if you want to be. He'll make you one. Every good soldier that's carrying a rifle and wearing Kevlar and riding in a Humvee over yonder right now, they went through some training. They weren't good soldiers to begin with. They were made good soldiers. And the Lord will make you a good soldier if you want to be. God, dealing with your heart tonight, you come. Brother Todd, y'all sing. Let's just mind the Lord. We'll go to the house.